All right, guys, hey, it is a happy Tuesday. Welcome to Anime Talk. We're halfway through the summer season there, Mr. Aeroblip.
Yes, that is true.
It's going by quick, man. Do you realize school is starting up for most kids in the next week or so?
Fuck.
Colleges are starting up into the month.
That is true. That is true.
It's a busy time frame. All right, so let's get this stuff started here. So, as always, Joe Animated, Aeroblip.
Hi, good evening, John Trafal.
He has been a consistent, shining bright light in our viewership, hasn't he? Always there for us when it matters the most.
Yeah, thank you.
Although, does he have a Twitter handle? Because I think I've checked, and I don't know. No.
He or she should make a Twitter handle. That'd be nice.
Come hang out with us on Twitter. Anyways, as always, Joe and Aeroblip. Maybe I should send out a notice here. We've got very little viewership tonight.
I'm pretty sure it's just joined for foul.
That'd be really sad and pathetic of us, huh?
Oh, well.
Oh, well. But anyways,
people can catch the recording. That's all that matters.
Yeah, come catch the recording later. All right. So, as always, too, we've instituted a new fun option where you can leave us a voicemail or text message. This will go to the blog. We'll answer it in various forms or another. Standard voice and text message rates apply, so keep that in mind. All right, man, let's walk through some news.
Do it.
EVA 2.0 is hitting Toonami at the end of the month. I'm kind of excited.
I'm curious. So when last time we discussed this, it was actually when 1.0 went to Toonami.
True.
Did you ever find the ratings for it? Because
no.
I searched to the ends of the earth, and I actually cannot find exactly how well it did. But
I didn't see. But all I know is, as a whole, Toonami's ratings have been steadily increasing since they first started back up.
That's true.
That's all I do know for sure.
Yes. I mean, if considering how they're doing a 2.0, I would assume that 1.0 must have been really popular. So,
yeah. Yeah, honestly, it is Ava. It's something American fans recognize.
Yeah.
So.
And it's a good movie, too, with a good dub. So I think it can work. It'll be fine. It'll definitely be fine. So. I think this is probably more fitting to the Toonami name, too. It's more action packed. So.
Oh, yeah. It's a well done one. It's a well done show. It'll be fun to watch. I personally have Toonami. Maybe I'll find an illegal stream, but it would be fun to watch along with everybody else. So, pick up Ava on Toonami for those of you that are late night owls. Go check it out.
Yep.
And then, Arrow, this next story I know is dear to your heart.
Sort of.
It's Idolmaster.
Yeah, I know.
There's no excitement coming out of your voice.
How about you tell them what the news is, and then I'll explain.
Idolmaster's film set for spring 2014. So we're less than a year away from that.
Yeah.
Why aren't you excited?
Well, because they originally announced that it was going to come out in fall 2013.
Oh.
So, essentially, they're saying it's delayed, without saying it's delayed. Also, I'm kind of reserved about the whole Idolmaster movie because, well, one, I can't see it when it's in theaters, so that just sucks on my part. And two, like, there's no details on it, so there's no reason for me to get excited. Like, I mean, yes, it's still the A1 Pictures version of Idolmaster, so there's going to be some quality to it. But at the same time, I don't know who's writing it. I don't know who's directing it. I don't know what the story's about. So I'm excited that there's more Idolmaster, but other than the fact that there's a new date, it's not really news, per se.
All right. I just think, you know, you're getting one of your favorite franchises in a movie form. I thought you'd be a little more excited.
Well, to be honest, I don't know how they can do it in a movie form. I'm still reserved by that.
Okay. I've never seen it. I'm still working on it, obviously. So you'll have to explain to me why it wouldn't make for a good movie form.
Well, so the reason why the anime works is because essentially you get 26 episodes where you get 30-minute chunks. Or 24-minute chunks where you get to focus on specific characters, right? So in one episode, Haruka, it's like focus on her. In another episode, it's Chihaya. And, like, you slowly, like, see them interacting with each other. And, like, you see how they're their bonds build over time, which is nice. But I don't know what kind of story they can pull off in a minute 30 film. Like, it's like you can't do a regular episode, but at the same time, it's I cannot comprehend a plot condensed or expanded for a minute, or not a minute, an hour 30 is what I'm trying to say.
Okay. Okay.
Like, it's hard.
All right. But as always, if they pull it off, it would probably be on your must-watch list, you think?
I don't know. Like, I mean, if you don't like the original Idol Master, then you won't like the movie, clearly. I'm just saying, like, I'm just trying to keep the expectations low.
Gotcha. All right. Don't want to be disappointed. I can get that. Yeah. But Idol Master, spring 2014.
Yes.
Next exactly. up. Kyoto Animation launches a countdown site for their new show, and this countdown's already ended, and guess what it is? The show is getting a fall 2013 release. So the show...
Yeah, it's not really that surprising, though, because Kyoto Animation, I don't know if it's through official word or through leaks, but I thought it was already coming out. This show was going to come out next season.
Right, I don't know. That's what made this whole thing kind of odd to me. But there was a bunch of excitement. They put a bunch of character profiles up on a website, so on and so forth. So I don't know. Maybe there was some question.
Well, no, it wasn't a question because like there was already a bunch of promos out there saying, "Hey, like official announcement, Kyoto Animation is going to do this." It's just they didn't know when it would be released. So
for those of you who know, yeah, it's not about the light novel adaptation he's doing, for those who didn't know.
Yeah. But, I mean, I don't know what it is, so I guess that works.
One of our writer's numbers was taking a look. It has a Monogatari feel to it comment, whatever that means.
I actually don't know how to interpret that. I mean, is it talky? Is it...
I don't know either.
Is it a love story?
He did not elaborate beyond that, so... I can't read Japanese, so I obviously haven't delved into the light novel yet, but I don't know. We'll have to ping on some more information for that, huh? But that was this whole build-up for what everything ended up being common knowledge. But there's lots of good character profiles on the website you can check out. What else was there? Obviously, the announcement on the front page. They have a Twitter profile you can check out at Anime Kyokai.
Yeah.
But that was about it. It ended up being pretty anticlimactic, other than the official site came to life. So.
Well, I mean, they're pretty busy, because what? They're still animating Free.
Yes.
There's a Chunibyo movie, and then there's also a second season as well.
Yeah, they've got at least four projects on their plates right now, if you include this. So.
And then who knows what else they'll be, you know, working on in the next year or two, and that, like, you know, you gotta plan early for that kind of stuff as well, so
yeah,
we'll see.
Fall's gonna be a pretty packed fall. I'm pretty excited,
but people say that, but I still don't know what's coming out in the fall.
Oh really? Yeah, we'll get to that here in a little bit.
Okay,
but next story, let's
move it.
Little Witch Academia 2 meets their stretch goal, their $500,000 stretch goal.
Yay.
So the original goal was $150,000, right?
Yeah.
For that extra $350,000, very little was added to the DVD. It ended up being they're just going to produce more discs, really. You get an additional commentary and a few more minutes of the... Well, this was... Actually, the whole original intent was to extend what they were already making by, what, 10 minutes?
Yes.
Wasn't it? So $150,000 was just to make what they were already going to do a little longer.
Yeah.
So they've raised $500,000 for that, plus some additional little features on the disc. That's a lot of freaking money.
I don't see the problem in this. Like, are you saying that this is an issue? Because I just think
it's very interesting. It makes me wonder what if people knew what they were investing. If they thought they were investing in the entire.
Oh thing. Fuck so, yes! Here's the thing you need to consider.
There's going to be a lot of confusion to me.
No. There is no confusion. Like it's. Well, first of all the stretch goal, all the goals and the backers, like, they're listed on the side. You essentially have to pay $50 just to get the Blu-ray version of something that we know that was already going to be coming out on Blu-ray in the first place.
Yes.
So, Like, I mean, and then they're
basically
just like, oh, hey.
Pre-ordering the disc, essentially.
Yes. I mean, that's all this is. Like, that's what I've been telling people, like, why we should use Kickstarter more. Is because you're just doing, like, you know, pre-order bonuses that go with your anime. Like, that's the only difference between, like, this and Amazon, like, pre-orders, to be honest.
Yep.
But as I was saying, is that, like, if you actually consider the numbers, too, we're like, so it beat 50,000. It's about to push 650,000. It's about to push 600,000.
Is it already that high? No. When I looked, it was low fives.
It's, no, it's like 5,758, or why am I saying 50? 580. It's close to 580 right now, and there's still another 24 hours. But if you look at the numbers, it's essentially coming down to $1,000 per person. No, $500 per person. My math wrong. So, like, I mean, if you, like, I mean, just back of the envelope calculation. So if it's coming out to $500 per person, I feel like, yeah, like, I think people actually know what they're contributing.
Yep. So just, I don't know, it just kind of surprised. I'm surprised, but not surprised, if that makes sense.
If, to be honest, I'm not surprised by the dollar amount. I'm just surprised by the low number. Because given the popularity and given how much press it got, for it to only get under 6,000 backers, I feel like that's...
Well, the quantity
of backers. That, to me, raises much of... Like, that, to me, raises the eyebrow more. The fact there's still a little
backers. The quantity of backers was small?
Yes.
Now, but most of those backers paid a lot of money, apparently, though.
I know. I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's essentially coming down to $500 per backer. But, like, not everyone... You know, there's always a swing. There's always a standard deviation. Like, yeah. But what I'm saying is that... Still, it's only 6,000 backers. Like, considering how much we've been talking about it, considering how much press it's got from, like, Crunchyroll and Anime News Network, and hell, it was actually featured on Reddit and, like, Kickstarter's front page once. Not front page, one of, like, the side pages, but, like, it was a featured. But what I'm saying is that it's still only got, like, 6,000 backers. Yeah. I figured it would be, like, five digits by now.
I don't know, man. It's odd.
Yeah. I mean, I guess the money is the important thing, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're guaranteed and all good. All right. Next story.
Do it.
Does Monogatari... Or this is something you brought up here. Monogatari still got, quote-unquote, it.
So okay, give
us the frame
of reference. This isn't a story. This is just for us to discuss.
True. Okay, so, yeah, sorry. Give us the frame of reference to your comment, then.
Well, the whole point is that we finally finished the first arc of Monogatari. And I say for the first 95% of the show that we've seen so far, there's no Araragi. So it was always centered on Hanakawa. And we got a little bit of Itagi, got a little bit of the Fire Sisters, but it was essentially a Hanakawa-centric arc. Now, given, like, all the hype that went into the season, given all, like, the enhanced budget compared to, like, Bakemonogatari, like, do you think this is, like, a proper successor to the cult classic? Like, do you think it's still well-received? Like, what do you think is what I'm asking you?
Oh, okay. Does Monogatari still have what it used to have?
I mean, do you think it still deserves all this praise? Like, is it a good thing? Like, does it still change anime?
That's a hard question.
Really? Because it's fairly straightforward to me.
I thought this 5-episode arc was up and down.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the last episode had some really good points, although I felt like when Araragi saved her, I thought that was kind of a mixed point to me.
I feel like it was necessary, but we'll discuss that in a sec.
Necessary, yeah. Yes, but I felt like maybe it was... It could have been resolved differently.
Mm-hmm.
But that's beside the point. Actually, I've never read the light novel, so I don't know. You know, coming into this, I'm fresh eyes, right?
Well, I mean,
overall, and then
that's good. It's good that you're fresh eyes, though, because that means you just like you recently finished Bakke and Nisei.
True.
So
the story is fresh. This little January, February. So,
yeah.
Does it still have it? Was it still a good 5-episode arc? Yes. Is the series
now,
what's that?
Now, what I'm saying is, like, do you still think it's, like, still the industry, like, shaker that Bakke was when it first came out?
No.
Why is that?
Because I don't think it's doing anything innovative again. Like, ignoring Nisei, right? Because Nisei wasn't all that great. Good, but not great. In reference to Bakke, I think this is a similar or a continuation without being innovative. Maybe I'm trying to frame this right, but that's the way it feels to me. You know, the dialogue felt very much similar. It felt like a natural conclusion to her arc. It didn't feel like they did anything to upset the fruit basket.
Okay.
That is my, like I said, not saying the episode was terrible. I just don't think they did a great job of, I don't think it was up. I don't think it mixed up things enough.
Okay. Because I think the exact opposite. And this is why I was kind of curious, because when I was on the Twitters and the boards and 4chans and whatever you want to call it, a lot of people were fairly disappointed throughout the entire arc until the last episode came in of this arc. And to be honest, like, I thought the last episode was, like, the one that came out last week was absolutely fantastic. Like, definitely one of the better episodes of the series. As far as the whole arc in general, I think this is probably one of my, definitely one of my more favorite arcs. Because here's the thing. Nisei Uesugi, he's got this really complicated story. Like, it's, I mean, sure, you know, it boils down to, like, it's a harem. But at the same time, like, I feel like there's a lot more that's going on than what you'd expect it to happen. And I think Shinbo did a fantastic directing. Like, if you saw the last episode, what he pulled off in that, when Hanakawa, or when Black Hanakawa was reading the letter, essentially addressed to her, that sequence of events right there, that was absolutely phenomenal. The way this arc actually unfolded and unraveled, and essentially how it became a realization of Hanakawa, of, like, exactly what she needed to do. Like, that was absolutely fantastic. Like,
oh, I'm not saying it wasn't fantastic.
I don't know what I'm saying, but I still think that this should be considered a big deal. Like, I mean, essentially, this is everything that Bakke did right, and now it's doing it even more with just better production values. Like, it's just. Shinbo's a very creative person, and sure, you can tease him about all his head tilts and, like, the random backgrounds and sceneries, but, like, the way he set it all up, especially in this arc and especially at the conclusion of this, was absolutely fantastic. And you know what, I still think that, like, a lot of people may not like the show, but you cannot deny that what it's doing is amazing. Is what I'm trying to say.
Okay, I will not deny that the execution was good. How about that?
Okay.
The execution and the way it was done. I'm just saying, if you are comparing it to being something innovative in comparison to Bakke in terms of doing something fresh with the medium, I would say no. But was that last episode enjoyable to watch despite some misogynistic tones? Yes.
Okay, because I'm just saying, like, everything about, I don't know, like, it's hard for me to explain, because everything about this, it was just beautiful. Like, the music, I've always said that Kosaki Satoru was, like, a very, like, not, he was a very, he's a very good composer that I don't think he gets enough recognition for. And so if you listen to the musical score in this, and it wasn't until episode 4 until you got, like, the original stuff, but, like, the music was fantastic, you know, like, I still think it's as innovative as it was back then. But I think we should move on to the other point, which you had, was misogynistic tones. So what exactly was so misogynistic about it?
that he had to come save her. That she was incapable of overcoming her internal struggle without him.
Okay.
There's a slight misogynistic tone to that. That's all. That's all I'm saying.
I don't think that... I mean, if you were paying attention to the entire series, I don't think that's the case at all. Is it weird that Adoraki came up and showed up at the exact moment before, like, the worst happened? Yeah, probably. But the timing itself was absolutely, like, it was necessary.
Oh, I mean, from a story about, perspective, from a storytelling perspective, it was fine.
Hear me out. The entire point of this arc was the fact that Hanakawa finally stepped up to solve her own problems. Because that was
but
always
she
a
didn't
problem.
Solve it. He solved no, it for
let me
her.
Let me finish. Okay. Let me finish. It was always about taking the initiative. That's why he always did not like fall in love with her. Was the fact that Hitage was able to step up when he could or when she could. Like Kanbaru Tsuruga, like she tried to step up and take responsibility. Like, I mean, that's the important thing. It's the fact that she took the step. Now you're saying that, oh yeah, Kiyomi like came at the last second to save the day. That may be true, but at the same time, like, it's not like he does that all the time. Like, as a matter of fact, in most of the arcs, he gets his ass handed to him, and he actually ends up needing to be saved. Like, think about it, with the against the crab, against Itagi's crab, he just stood aside. Against Mayoi Snail, he would have been trapped forever if it weren't for Senju Gahara. Tsuruga, like the monkey, if it weren't for Senju Gahara stepping in, he literally would have got killed 1,000 times over. Same thing with the snake, Tsuruga saved him, and then same thing with Black Hanakawa. Like, you know, someone else had to save him. Every single one of these arcs, like, he tried to save the day, but at the same time, like, he actually didn't do it successfully. So for him to come in and say, like, oh, yeah, like, oh, he came in just because, like, he had Kishot's sword. Like, yeah, that may be true.
But he conquered her inadequacies, though.
No. She did this herself. The point was that she needed to confront it. She had to do it.
But she confronted and failed.
No, but she still tried. It doesn't matter if someone else had to save the day, because at the end of the day, every single character had their own problems, and they can never solve it themselves. That's fine. That's perfectly fine that he had to come in and help. I don't think it's misogynistic at all, because especially considering the fact of how she never took the initiative until now. Now, if she would always play, like, in the first few stories, she was always playing the damsel in distress, and he had to come in and save the day. If that continued the trend, I think that would be considered more misogynistic, if anything else.
Okay.
Is what I'm saying. There's symbolism to this. Is that, like, sure, like, he had to come in and, like, you know, stop the tiger from killing her, but at the same time, Araragi himself was one of the demons that Hanakawa was trying to overcome. Which is why I think it's so beautiful about that ending, was the fact that she had to confront, he was the final boss. She had to finally confess and then ultimately be rejected. She knew that was going to happen. That's why the tiger was formed in the first place. Like, it was all necessary.
All right. I'm having a good dialogue on this. I'm enjoying this. So yeah, I'm taking it all in.
I'm just saying, like, people who think that, there's a lot of people out there who are outcrying much more vocally and much more strongly than you are, saying that, like, that last episode was, like, totally about misogyny or whatever. I don't think that's the case.
I'm not going to go that far. I just think
that... No. I know what you're saying. I'm saying people who are arguing much stronger than you about the point you made. But what I'm saying is that they're not understanding the symbolism, so... Sucks to be them.
See, like I said, there's more. I haven't, other than watching the episode, I have not dove in any deeper than that. And then, like I said, looking at some of the arguments, taking some of that in, there's more for me to absorb. So I'm just, like I said, having a healthy discussion with you to get a counterpoint to what I'm seeing.
It's fine. I know. People are wrong. It's my job to correct them.
All right, give me a sec here. I'm going to refresh the slide for our game here real quick, because I've got to, I realized I didn't have it set up very well. So we're going to...
I mean, you didn't have to tell me. You could have just done it while I was talking.
Yeah, but I didn't want to. People are going to see it on the thing. All right, so Fast Five.
So, Peter Talk and Jennifer Fowl, since you guys are the only ones here. Yeah, if you agree with me, let me know. If you disagree with me, please let me know, and we'll address it before the end of the show.
Sounds good. Fast Five, our game tonight, where we walk through five questions, have a little fun here and there. So, you ready? Yeah. First question.
What's the time limit?
Most of these...
Let's just do it.
Just talk about it. No time limit. Ready? First one. Show from this season that you would want another core from.
How about you go first?
I'm enjoying Eccentric Family quite a bit. There's all these subtle nuances, character moments. It's a very nuanced show with very deep characters that I enjoy. I like that it's... sitcom drama where it's kind of dated, you know what I mean? Where it's slice of life is not the right word. I don't want to use that word. But it's and you get this day-to-day progression of things. And I just like the subtleness and the quiet and that's in the show and the little things that go on. It's just It's really enjoyable. It's not a harem rom-com. It's very interesting. I mean, there's this entire, and hopefully I'll get this post written soon, but there's this entire identity crisis that goes on with this family that's just interesting. So I would love to see another core of the show.
I'll answer the question in a second, but I'm just kind of confused by, like, where do you see the appeal? Like, I'm not getting those good vibes when it comes to the show.
Your typical genre, though.
Well, I mean, I'm not trying to put a label on it, but what I'm saying is that, like, I'm not saying it's a bad show. What I'm saying is that I'm not really seeing all the hype that people are putting into it. I mean, yes, like, one of the characters, or perhaps the main character, is probably the most interesting character because he's so laid back and relaxed, usually. But at the same time, it's, yeah, I feel like there's still no plot to, like, wrap everything around it. Which still, you know, kind of bugs me about the show.
The plot is about a family that is struggling for their identity when the person that their lives are focused around was killed, and they have to still interact with the person that killed and ate him.
Yeah,
but that is the plot, and everything focuses around that lifestyle. You have a mother that tries to be both dad and mom. You have an older brother that gave up trying to be who he was and became a frog. You have the next in line that tries to put on... I mean, there's all these little subtle character things. If there ever was a character-driven show, like, that term sucks. I hate it. But you know what I mean? This is that kind of show where it's about the characters, their interactions, their developments, more than it is about driving towards a specific endpoint.
Well, I mean, I get what you're saying, but, like, let me put this in perspective. So I get what you're saying. To be honest, if I were to compare this to a Western show, this show would remind me the most of Arrested Development.
Yeah, that's not a bad analogy.
But, yeah, that's not a bad analogy. It's just one that most people don't get right off the bat. But, like, as far as direct, shallow comparisons go, I think that, like, Eccentric Family essentially matches Arrested Development. But what I'm saying, though, is about with Arrested Development was that there was still some progression of the plot. You understood what the conflict was. I mean, yes, at the end of the day, it was about this family trying to get back on its feet and only one person who could do it, Michael Blue. But at the same time, is that, like, it's through the interactions with each other. I guess you not only do you learn about the characters, but you actually see them develop, and then you actually see the story progress. What I'm saying is with this one is that I'm getting the character developments. I'm understanding the characters. That's fine and dandy, but I feel like we're no closer to a change in pace or a change in anything or even a resolution to the original problem than we were since episode one, is what I'm saying.
I think you are seeing a change in one character.
I see it in the characters, but not in their situation. Their situation is dire.
Their situation isn't getting any better. That's the problem.
But I'm not saying it's getting better. I'm just saying I don't see it changing in general.
Well, it's not, though. That's the problem. That's the whole point. That's the struggle. Change that situation. And to this point, it hasn't. They haven't done anything to change that situation.
But I guess that's my problem. Again, with Arrested Development, I'm going to make this direct comparison because it's the best one I can do. Arrested Development, yes, they were still, you know, they were still poor. The dad was still in jail. The mom was still fucking up. Like, the family had all these problems. But at least I felt like as every episode progressed, something in their lives was changing, whether for better or for worse. But the fact is that they were doing something, and then there would be consequences. There would be a result, and therefore, their situation changes. What I'm getting with Eccentric Family is that we see these characters interacting with each other, and we're seeing these characters developing, or at least learning more about them, which is fine. But I still don't see what the plot is.
Okay. So I guess to counter your point that his situation is getting either better or worse, the main character's situation is getting much worse, actually, because he keeps making mistakes and bringing visibility from the people that want to eat him.
I wasn't getting that impression at all. Maybe
this whole
something.
Episode is basically about I'm terrible with names. But the female lead, the head of the, or one of the people in Benton? The Friday Fellows. What's that? Benton.
Is it like
Benton.
Benton, yeah.
There's a whole... This, actually, you can almost debate that this whole episode was about her, but it's all this debate between her because she likes this little this boy, their main character, and what he does, but she has the debate not catching him and eating him at their next year-end bash. Like, there's this... It was that... It was her struggle through his eyes. Because she's
okay, maybe I didn't watch that. Maybe I didn't watch that episode. Maybe that might explain a lot.
The last episode. The last episode was very interesting in that you see the struggle with her because okay, so the Friday Fellows at the end of every year they eat a Tengen.
Okay. I can watch the episode.
Whatever it is,
a Tsuki.
Okay, a Tsuki. Yeah.
Okay, but what I'm saying is that I clearly did not see this episode, so I need to recheck my episode count.
It just came out Sunday, so
Sunday.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I didn't catch it then.
Okay. All right, so moving on.
So from the first...
You, what show would... We'll stop there. What show do you want to see another core from this season?
To be honest, I'd rather see another core of Majestic Prince.
Even though it's already on two cores.
No, it's on its second core.
Right now, yes.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is that like it was already slated to only be 24, 26 episodes. I don't feel like the show's going to be...
You're not going to get enough out of it?
Yeah. I want more.
It's a great series, isn't it?
I mean, because it is a great series, and I feel like there's a lot more. Like they're really touching on a lot of points. Like especially with the latest episode, not only do you understand like so first of all, there's someone behind the scenes on like the whatever they're called, the aliens. Like there's another person there that's like trying to do like all this recon intelligence collecting stuff, because it seems like there's an ulterior motive. With this war. And then in addition, they also started introducing all the the geopolitics that are going on with like the whole Majestic Prince like situation, the academies and all that stuff, and like the hoarding of technology. So like I wouldn't say it needs another core, but at the same time I'm kind of concerned how they're gonna wrap up the story in like a next 7 to 9 episodes.
So I am an unabashed fanboy of that show, and the only reason I didn't choose it for this question is because technically it started the last season.
Oh, you want something from this season then?
How about this? Something that had to start this season.
Okay,
just a bit. Although I'm not going to disagree that Majestic Prince is not a bad choice. It's a great choice.
Okay. I'm going to go with, I guess, Servant X Service. That, to me, second to Monogatari. Second to Monogatari, I think it's the most enjoyable. It's the most enjoyable comedy so far. And now what I'm noticing is that it's got working vibes where essentially you have this crazy cast and it's all about them and their them at work. But what I'm noticing about Servant X Service that I didn't get from Working in any season of Working was an actual development in the relationships, like. Well, we learned about one like office affair that's going on, and we know about like one that's been essentially brewing since episode one, and so there's still a lot of things left to be told, and I want to see how that evolves. And I don't think, another seven episodes would be nice, but I feel like if I can get 7 plus another 13, but as long as I continue that development, then I would be totally okay with that.
Okay, next question. Best female lead not from Monogatari.
You jerk.
I know, I put that just for you, because I know who you choose, but best female lead not from Monogatari.
Fudge. Ooh, this one's a tough one. I gotta think about this a little more. How about you go? I'm going to do
this. Tough. I know I had trouble thinking of one from this one, too, because Monogatari has a lot of interesting female characters. If I was going to choose a female lead not from Monogatari, I'm not watching a lot of shows. Probably because she frustrates me so much, I would do Hajime from Gatchaman Crowds.
Really?
Because her character is just so off-the-wall different.
Okay.
I don't know how else to describe it. Like, I'm frustrated by her. I enjoy it. There's this whole mix of things when I watch her character that I'm just going to say that for now.
Okay. Let's see. I guess for me, I'll try to keep it to this season, I guess. I don't know. Hakua?
Hakua.
Hakuwa. I mean, she like, love I love No, Kami no Mi.
Oh, I gotcha. You consider her a female lead?
Yeah, well, I mean, Elsie's gone, so she's That's essentially true. Kame's assistant. Yeah, I mean, I've always liked the goddess arc because that was actually her time to shine, in the manga at least. And while I'm upset that they're cutting a lot of stuff from the manga, especially her scenes.
A lot.
What?
A lot.
A lot, yes. Like ridiculous amounts. But at the same time, I still like what's going on. And the fact that she bounces off Kame so well that it just plays to the show's comedy strength. So I'll say her, I guess.
All right. Next question.
Do it.
Worst show you've watched this season?
Okay, worst show that I'm still following?
Sure.
Okay, because, I mean, to be honest, I watched a lot of shows and I dropped it.
I'm going with one I dropped, because that's where I'm at right now, but keep going.
Oh, well, I feel like I can't judge a book until I actually start watching it. I will have to surprise you on this one.
Huh.
And I'm gonna tweak the question a bit, because if it's a show that I don't like, I drop it. But as far as the shows that I've watched and I'm continuing to watch, but it's losing favor, I might have to go with C3BOO, as much as I love that show.
Really?
So not necessarily the worst show, but the most disappointing show. So the first episode really set the expectations that they were going to keep it real, so to speak. Or like the airsoft were, I mean, yeah, you're going to get airsoft and jazz. And we haven't been getting enough airsoft or jazz. And whatever airsoft we've been getting, it's not realistic. That's the problem for me, is that, like, you know, I was really hoping that they would, you know, keep it grounded in realism, but not like one of the characters is bouncing off walls. And then the latest episode, they were dual wielding, but like they were shooting with their feet. I was just completely taken aback by it.
I know I saw a lot of tweets from you that were not of a positive
nature. Yeah, this show is definitely losing favor really fast, especially after having a magnificent episode 4. I'm starting to get pissed.
So, worst show, I ended up dropping some stuff, so I have to go with the worst show of the ones that I dropped. It'd probably be like Dog and Scissors. I just did not find the joke. The jokes got old really fast, even faster than Bloodlad, which I found really annoying.
Yeah. But like, how far did you get into Dog and Scissors, though?
3 episodes.
I only got through one.
Yeah, I watched 3. I always try to give things 3, and then that's my cut. My point. So.
No, my motto is that if I get bored, I get bored. I'm sorry. I mean, if someone tells me otherwise, then I'll pick it back up. But if I get bored, I'll stop it.
I do a 3 test just to give something a fair chance. I would have dropped Sunday Without God if I didn't give it a 3 test.
Yeah,
that first episode was not good, but the 3 episodes as a whole were nice. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I would have told you to pick it up if that were the case.
But you know what I mean, right? If I had not given it 3 full episodes, I would have not have realized that it was probably worth continuing on.
Yeah,
I know. That's my. So it works sometimes. So. That's what we've got. Worst show. So, next question. Show you're most excited for this fall.
Fuck. I'm not really... I like to look ahead. I like to stay on the current.
Okay.
As far as if I had to pick a show, what was it? Kill La Kill by... Bless you.
Oh my gosh. Yep, go for it.
Let's see. Yeah, I would say Kill La Kill by Studio Trigger.
Okay.
Mainly because, you know... We finally get to see something animated, like a full 13 episode that isn't 5 minutes per episode, anime by Studio Trigger. And I'm really curious to see exactly, can they actually match the hype that ever, like, can they match all the praise that people are giving them? Because I saw Inferno Cop, and I liked Inferno Cop. It reminded me of, like, what was it? Aqua Teen Hunger Force from Adult Swim, but just more Japanese. And I liked Little Witch Academia, but... As far as a full-blown, like, you know, series, I want to know if they can pull it off. So that's why I'm curious.
Okay. So that was one of mine, definitely. If I'm going to go back down kind of through the list, Unbreakable Machine Doll would be one I'm looking forward to. And Kyosogiga. Did I say that right?
Oh, fuck. That's right. That is coming out.
Yep. It's Toei is doing it this fall. So that would be another one I'm looking forward to. So Kill la Kill, Kyosogiga, and... Unbreakable Machine Doll. And then, of course, you got Infinite Stratos coming out. Did you like the first season of that?
I enjoyed it.
it's coming back for a second season.
And
this part of the novel actually gets a little more interesting, so we'll see how it goes.
I don't read my novels, so we'll see.
Yeah. And the last question. What running back will be a fantasy football bust this year?
Oh, okay. So in order for them to be considered a bust, that means they had to be hyped. So only consider the top 10, so to speak, quarterbacks from most popular rankings. Originally, I was going to say Marshawn Lynch until I found out that Percy Harvin got injured. So now I'm going to say probably Ray Rice. Ray Rice, purely because I guarantee his workload's going to increase because Anquan Boldin's gone. So all you're left is with Torrey Smith and Flacco. And now that Pitt is out as well, essentially the receiving is going to go down. But I think that they needed those receivers in order to essentially take the heat off of Ray Rice. Because how's the saying go? Hey, diddle, diddle, Ray Rice down the middle? Yeah, he can't bounce outside. So he's just going to constantly push through. And I think for most defenses, they should catch on, and then he's just going to get shut down. So, yeah, I'd say Ray Rice. Ray Rice is considered a top five running back. He's rated number 3 in some rankings.
That's really high.
I think, yeah, I'd say definitely top 10, but I don't know. And he's probably going to get injured, too, because he hasn't been injured yet, and that's why.
So I'll give you that. Ray Rice is a potential buster. Now, I don't think they're going to be a bust. I think they're going to be not as good as last year would be Adrian Peterson.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah. I don't think Minnesota. I think Minnesota's receiving core isn't any better, honestly.
Well, you replaced Percy Harvin with Greg Jennings.
And Greg Jennings is hurt habitually, even more than Percy Harvin.
It wasn't until last season that he got hurt.
2 seasons in a row he'd been on and off the bench.
Was he really 2 seasons ago? I thought he was okay 2 seasons ago.
He spent some time on the bench then, too.
Well, he did run a touchdown pass play on a broken leg, so
yeah.
He put the team on his back.
I'll give you that. But so it'll be interesting this year. Fantasy football should be fun. I know you're stressed. Changed up the league order a bit, so you're a little worried.
Yeah, I hate you for that.
I know. Well, we only had 2 more people, and it was easier to get... We couldn't get enough people for a second league, essentially.
Yes, you could have. You only need 8 people.
Who can I get? Okay, regardless. Moving on. All right, man. Final thoughts. Anything you want to get out before we end tonight?
Nope. Expect a fat cast later this week.
Okay.
That's it.
Yeah, it's been a busy week. Lots of stuff going on. I don't know, it's the middle of the season, it's kind of that doldrum, not much happens, the news is kind of light. It seems like news in general seems less and less. I don't know why. Maybe it's just me. I don't know.
Yeah, I agree with you.
But that's about it. So, but kind of is some on some side news here, guys, for those who are still watching us, we are going to put Anime Talk on a hiatus for a while. Due to schedules and conflicts and everything else, and just a need to kind of maybe revamp, reinvent, bring in some new talent, we're going to take a break for a while to regroup. I think it's a good opportunity before the fall hits to get some things together, bring in some new talent, so I think that'll be fun. So we appreciate those that have stuck with us, despite the declining viewership. I think we went from averaging 40 to averaging 8, which was kind of sad. But I think we can take some time to make it more enjoyable, bring back some viewership, and have some more fun. So, thank you for sticking with us. Look forward to some new stuff in the future. Be sure to check out the blog for stuff we've got going on. We started a new weekly, or will be weekly, short podcast with Acostas called Annie Minutes. It's a fun little segment, so check that out. You can look at this show on iTunes. We'll always have the videos up on iTunes, and we're looking for new creative ways to do things there. And not only be a guest, but if you're looking at joining us full-time and being a part of our live stream as a regular host, that's something we're considering, so please send us an email, and we'll take it under consideration. Like I said, we're looking to revamp, reinvent, rotate hosts, do whatever. Be creative and bring in some fun. So be sure to find us there.
Yes, sir.
I think it'll be good. I think it'll be... We're looking at probably a month or two of redoing some things, so we'll let you guys know when we come back. We may even switch out of Ustream because, to be honest, I'm done with the commercials. It keeps popping up. It's kind of aggravating. Maybe we'll go to Justin TV or something.
Twitch,
something else that doesn't put a commercial up every 2 minutes, which is quite agitating. Other than that, I think that's it, man. So, again, thank you, everyone. And we'll be sure to catch you guys later.
Yep. See you later, guys. You can always snap with us, too. Friday Anime Podcast. Net. Yep. I also blog about SimpleGear and how it's the savior of anime. Well, because Hibiki hasn't had that much time to shine in the new season. I mean, I would give her a hand, but you know, I'm gonna see how they unfold the backstory. Well, that wasn't too much of an arm stretch.
Oops, I'll see you later. Myself. Yeah, you were talking by yourself. Anyway, see ya.
All right, see you guys.